The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. He said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the home, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a doctor, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand. And the girl got up, and the report of this spread throughout that district. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the one God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's gospel is filled with a cast of characters that reflect what will be the rest of Jesus' ministry. Each of these characters deserves at least a 15-minute sermon, so get comfortable. Just kidding. Let's actually put this whole gospel into context first. It comes from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's still traveling, preaching, and healing. He hasn't yet called all 12 of the ragtag group who would eventually be known as apostles. Today, we see him calling one of them, Matthew, the tax collector. Now, the gospel seems almost as an oversimplification of what's really happening here. First, Matthew just seems to be sitting in the tax booth, almost as if he's waiting for a bus. No, he was a tax collector for the Romans. Rome had conquered much of the known world. They would move in, take over, and then leave troops behind to keep the peace. They needed to pay the army, construct roads, remember, all roads lead to Rome, build and sail ships for troop and cargo movement. All of that cost money. And it was not expected that the good people of Rome would pay for all of that. The conquered nations had to pay, and they had to pay dearly. Jerusalem was no exception. The Romans would allow the conquered nations to keep their own gods and customs as long as it didn't interfere with the Romans. Now, this was, of course, a problem for the Jews when the Caesars declared themselves to be gods and had to be worshipped. That was against the commandments. But at this point in history, the Jews remained fairly safe. And they did so until about 70 AD. They were safe unless they refused to pay their taxes. Then the full force of the Roman legions needed to move in. It was a very tenuous balance of remaining faithful to your own country, but working with the Romans. You didn't want to make trouble, as those soldiers were vicious, according to history. Now, tax collectors came from the people who were occupied. They were hated, as the people considered them collaborationists with the Romans. And to make matters worse, almost as petty bureaucrats, they would line their own pockets by overcharging the people and keeping the difference between what Rome demanded and what they were able to collect. So tax collectors were considered sinners in very many ways. Well, along comes Jesus, walking down the road, and he calls to the tax collector to come follow him. For the Jews, this was wrong in so many ways, on so many levels. Remember, if a Jew was to associate in any way with a known sinner, they too would be considered a sinner. And to make matters even worse, Jesus didn't just talk to the tax collector and tell him to follow him. He also sat and ate with other tax collectors and sinners. He was heaping defilement upon defilement on himself. Which brings us to the second group of characters in today's gospel, the Pharisees. Now, when we Christians read the Gospels, we usually assume that the scribes and the Pharisees were bad people. Well, in fact, they weren't. They were trying to assure that the Jewish nation and people remained faithful to God and at the same time not get wiped out by the Romans. It's a very delicate balance. Now, obviously, Jesus was leading the people astray. He was teaching them that it was all right to be a sinner. Jewish dietary laws were so strict that this dinner would have branded Jesus a notorious sinner. But Jesus wasn't just anybody. He was the great physician. St. Augustine said, "The church is not a hotel for saints. It's a hospital for sinners." Well, this wasn't how the Pharisees thought. The Jews were God's chosen people and had to act like it. Going around eating and associating with sinners as though they were doing nothing wrong was wrong. But that is an important lesson for today's gospel. As Jesus clearly points out, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners. And then, tacked on to today's gospel, is the healing of the daughter of the leader of the synagogue. Notice an important man coming to this notorious sinner, asking for help. And not just any kind of help, but the physical raising of a dead child. This was not someone who was just sick. She was gone. The mourners and the flute players were already there making a commotion, as was their custom when someone died. So Jesus was on his way to go and not just heal, but raise a child from the dead. And along the way, we come across another person in today's gospel, the woman suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. Now, her faith is the central part of this story, as well as Jesus' ability to heal. And there's another aside here that we might not recognize. Besides the Jewish dietary laws that Jesus didn't follow when eating with sinners and tax collectors, this vignette highlights the Jewish laws on women touching a man when there was a flow of blood. The woman's already considered unclean, but now the man is also unclean, and he must do certain sacrifices to purify himself. Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't scold the woman for touching him. He doesn't even mention her impropriety on touching him. He simply tells her that her faith has made her well. Again, those who need a physician. One final moment in this gospel is the raising of the little girl. Again, Jesus touches her. Again, touching a body was not permitted by men in Jewish law. That's why the women went to the tomb after Jesus was crucified to do those things necessary by Jewish law. Men couldn't do it, only women. Now, as I was meditating on this gospel, a line from today's psalm kept coming up in my mind. The loving kindness of the Lord fills the whole earth. Now, you might not have noticed, but there's a hyphen between the words loving and kindness. In some Bible translations, it's considered one word, loving kindness. Now, interesting enough, my spell check didn't highlight that one. It's obviously used enough in the English language that the dictionary accepts it as correct. The loving kindness of the Lord fills the whole earth. The whole earth. That tells us that God's loving kindness is extended to sinners as well as to saints. It goes to those who, as the prayer book used to say, are notorious evil livers. Notorious evil livers. That doesn't have to do with drinking too much. It goes to those who are ill. It even goes to those who have died. It goes to all who have reached out to Jesus, who come to him for help, who accept his forgiveness, to all those who know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. The loving kindness of the Lord fills the whole earth. May today and always it fill all of our hearts.